All right, so it took me 27 months to make my first $1 million after graduating from dental school. In this video, we're gonna look at each month to see how that income was distributed. We're gonna look at all the things I did right, but we're also gonna look at a lot of different mistakes that I made. Looking back, I wish my old self could have just had a 1 hour call with the current me. I honestly think I could have made an additional $100,000 my first year if I had done things a little bit differently. That's why I'm sharing this information with you today to help you avoid some of the mistakes I made, and hopefully you can also learn from some of the things I did right. Sometimes all it takes is just to look at someone who's a few years ahead of you to see what types of opportunities you might be missing out on. So in month one, when I graduated from dental school, I did not yet have my dental license. I personally live in Tennessee, and each state is going to have different rules and policies about getting your license after graduation. At least in Tennessee, I couldn't apply for my dental license until I had graduated from dental school, but it takes like 2 months to get your license after you apply. So when I first graduated from school, I couldn't work yet, but I got a job working as an assistant for another dentist just so I could learn the office and learn some things. In hindsight, honestly, I wouldn't have wasted my time doing that. I probably would have gone on a trip or done something more fun, but I did it. So I made $2,500 my first month out of school. And that's because I was working as an assistant, not as a dentist. Did I learn a lot of things in that first month? Yes, I learned a lot of things. It's possible that part of the reason I was successful at my practice was because I had worked as an assistant, and I spent some time working at the front desk during that time. So I learned a lot about how business worked and et cetera. So, you know, it was okay. Month two, I made $5,000. I got my license towards the end of that second month, but the office that I was working at, they decided that they didn't want me working as a dentist yet until they had gone through the credentialing with all the different insurance companies. They wanted me to continue working as an assistant, which was just like, I'm not gonna do that now that I have my dental license. For 1 week, they paid me as if I was a hygienist and I did some cleanings on patients, which once again, that was just stupid. I would not recommend you do that. Just wait until you have your license unless you just absolutely need the money. But I did it for a week and then I left that job because they just weren't taking me seriously. And that's kind of the big problem I had with working as an assistant at an office. The rest of the employees then saw me as an assistant, not as a dentist. The transition just never would have worked. And so I actually left that job and went to find another job, which is my first actual job working as a dentist. And in month three, I made $14,000. So this is my first month of having a dentist's income. Now, $14,000 a month is not great. To be fair, this was a few years ago now. At the time, I was given a daily minimum of $700 per day. Honestly, today I would not take less than $1,000 daily minimum. With the amount of inflation that's happened since then, $1,000 should be your very, very minimum starting price. I was speaking with a client the other day who's working for a daily minimum of $500. There are hygienists that are making $500 a day. You as a dentist should never be working for $500 a day. If you are given a job offer where they're trying to pay you less than $1,000 a day in a daily minimum, then reach out to me and let's talk. You can find my information in the description. You can find my website and let's set up a call. You need to negotiate that. Do not work for a $500 daily minimum in 2025 and beyond. That makes absolutely no sense. Moving on to month number four, I made another $14,000. Now this office was primarily a Medicaid office and I hadn't yet been credentialed with my state's Medicaid. But because I was wanting to get started right away, luckily they were willing to take me on before I had finished all the credentialing with Medicaid. And so that's why I was at a daily minimum for the first few months. Now in hindsight, would I have worked at a Medicaid office again? No, I would not. I do not recommend you work at a Medicaid office. The problem that I found was that with Medicaid, you're primarily going to be seeing children and you're primarily going to be doing exams and fillings. What I didn't really think about at the time is that the majority of money in dentistry is in crowns and surgery. When you work at a Medicaid office, you're primarily doing fillings and the extractions that you're doing are primarily just taking out primary teeth and occasionally premolars for ortho cases. There were days that I saw 50, 60, 70 plus patients in a single day. And so I definitely got my speed up there, which was great, but I just got my speed up with fillings and exams, I didn't really get any experience with crowns or dentures or surgery at that office. So it really wasn't a great option. I wouldn't recommend it. Now, starting in month five, I made $22,000. And that's because in addition to working at the Medicaid office, I also worked a few Sundays at an emergency clinic that did extractions. Do I recommend you work on Sundays? No, I was working 6 days a week for a little while there. I got honestly really burnt out on dentistry. So I do not recommend you work more than 4 days a week ever in your career as a dentist. Just don't do it. You need to find other ways to spend your time than just seeing patients. It's absolutely not worth it. But I did it. I'm here showing you the good things and the bad things that I did. I'm showing you my mistakes. So I worked at this extraction clinic. The good part of that was I did get a lot of experience with extractions, which I was not getting at that Medicaid office, which was great because I got really, really good at doing extractions. I got really fast because at this emergency clinic, we would have 20, 30 patients show up for extractions in a single day on a Sunday. So that was a lot of experience. Now, the business model there was, it was kind of interesting. There was no insurance. It wasn't even out-of-network insurance, literally no insurance. It was cash only. You came in, it was like $160 for an extraction. I think it was like $40 for an exam. So basically, if you came in for the exam and the extraction, it was $200. And then if you did two extractions, it'd be $360. And that's just kind of how the fee structure worked. And I think I got to keep 35% of what I did. So I did like 20 extractions in a day at $200 a piece, you keep 35%. So I was making like $1,400 a day at that clinic. There were a couple days that I did 35 to 40 extractions, and do the math, I think I made almost $3,000 in a single day at this extraction clinic. So you can actually make a decent amount of money at one of these extraction type clinics. However, the problem, at least with this clinic, is that all the patients wanted to come on Sunday and Saturday. And later on, I actually worked Wednesdays a couple times at this clinic. And on Wednesdays, I would see like three or four patients. So it's basically you had to work weekends if you wanted to make money at this clinic. So it's not a good long-term thing, but I did it for a little while, made a little bit of extra money. All right, so month number six. Now here is where I actually started making some money above my daily minimum at my primary Medicaid office job. $25,000 in a month, not terrible. So in total, by the end of month six, I had made $82,000. So after paying taxes, et cetera, on that, I think I was left with around $65,000. And then I spent about $30,000 that year. And so I think I ended up saving something like $35,000. In the first 6 months of working. Month seven, I made $21,000. Notice it went down a little bit from the previous month, and that's because the job I was at actually dropped me from 5 days a week to 4 days a week. What happened with this job is they actually hired me thinking that because I was a new graduate, I wasn't going to be working very fast, and there was another doctor at the office, and when I came in and started working, I was seeing a lot more patients than they expected and working a lot faster, and as a result, the other doctor got kind of jealous because I was seeing a lot of the patients that she was wanting to see. And so she complained to the management that I was taking too many of her patients. And so the management decided they were going to cut me down to 4 days a week. And instead of being full-time at a certain office, they then were going to have me travel around to four different offices, working 1 day a week at each of the offices, 4 days a week. I did it for a little while. It was a good experience that I learned how to be flexible and how to work at different offices. But honestly, if I could talk to my previous self, I would have said, Chris, this is stupid. Just leave that job and find a better job where you're working full time and actually making good money. Find a job for a DSO where you're seeing PPO patients, you're doing all the procedures, crowns, extractions, fillings, exams, some Invisalign, maybe some implants. Learn as much as you can, do as many procedures as possible, and just find a better job because clearly this job is not working out for you. That's what I would have told myself, but I didn't know at the time. And so I kept this job that really wasn't that great, and I worked it for a few more months. So in month eight, my income went down even more. I made $20,000. Month nine, I made 18. Month 10, I made 17. And month 11, I made 20,000. So as you can see, that is not a great income for a dentist. I do not recommend the traveling to multiple offices approach. I recommend finding a busy PPO office where you can do all the different procedures. So throughout this period, I knew I wanted to be an owner, and I had been looking at practices, and I had been looking at doing a startup. I had a specific city that I wanted to work in, but for some reason, the city that I was working in seems to be a lot more competitive than some of the cities that are surrounding it. I looked and looked for what seemed like ages. I mean, it was 11 months. But that's a long time when you're working an associate job you don't like and you're trying to get out of it and you're looking and looking, you can't find anything. I actually considered doing a startup for a little while. I went around with a realtor and looked at commercial real estate, and I did, you know, I made a business plan. I looked into all the options. I got quotes from the supply reps to see how much it was going to cost. I talked to banks about getting loans for a startup. But then I really did the math and realized I don't want to do a startup. Like, I'm not going to have any patience. It doesn't make sense. I knew of another dentist in the area who had done a startup, and he did not do well. He did not do well at all. He ended up going out of business, and he had to try to sell his equipment to recuperate some of his losses. And so I was not even interested in doing a startup because I had seen how he had failed. But at the same time, I had another friend who had just bought a practice, and he was doing extremely well, like really, really well. And so for me, I looked at the one dentist who did a startup who failed, and the other dentist who, this was like 5 minutes down the street, who did an acquisition and was doing really, really well. So I knew I'm going to buy a practice. I'm not going to do a startup. It doesn't make sense. But I couldn't find a practice in the city that I wanted to live in. To make things worse, there were three different practices that sold right in the area that I wanted to live while I was looking. But for various reasons, I was not the one who got to purchase the practice. One of the practices sold to someone who had been an associate at that office, and the seller said that I would be second on the list if the associate didn't want to buy, but the associate bought, so I was out of luck on that one. Another one sold, I don't even know how it sold. I never heard from any practice brokers about it, but somehow it sold. And in the third one, I did hear from the practice broker. The practice broker sent me the information first because he knew I was looking to buy. And when I talked to the dentist, we found out that this was a dentist that I actually went to school with some of his kids. And when he figured out who I was, he didn't want to sell me the practice because he, I don't know, I guess he thought I was too immature because he remembered me when I was younger. And I don't know, but he didn't sell me the practice and he sold it to someone else. What are you going to do? So I was like, fine, I'm just going to have to go somewhere else because I can't find a practice here. And so I found a city that was 2 hours away from where I actually wanted to live. And I found a practice to buy there. And so we'll go into month 12, where I only made $4,000. That's because I only worked a few more days and I had left my other job because I was planning on buying a practice. But buying a business is not simple. It's a lot more complicated than you expect. Just when you think everything is going to go smoothly, it's not going to. There are going to be hiccups. There are going to be things that come your way that you're just gonna have to deal with. You're gonna have to roll with the punches. I found out a lot of issues with this practice that I'm not going to get into in this video, but I also found out that this same dentist had sold another practice a few years before, and then he ended up suing the person who bought his practice. This dentist's son was a lawyer, and I just did not want to mess with that situation, and so I ended up not buying that practice. But I had already left my job, so of course I went into hyperdrive mode and talked to every single practice broker I could find and looked at every single practice in the area that I could even consider buying. And I finally found a practice. It was also in that city that was 2 hours away from where I wanted to live. I didn't ever expect to stay there long term. It was just because I knew I wanted to be an owner and I didn't want to work as an associate and I had already left my job. So I ended up buying a practice that was a little bit smaller than I had originally wanted to buy. The purchase price was $350,000, and the practice was largely a practice that had been seeing HMO patients. Let me set the record clear. I do not recommend you buy a practice that has HMO patients. Do not buy a practice with Medicaid patients. Do not buy a practice with HMO patients. There, I've said it. You're watching this video to learn from my mistakes, not to do exactly as I did. So when you buy a practice, it takes time. You're not going to just make an offer and be working at that practice the next day. And so the next month, you can see I made $15,000. And that's because I took a temp job where I worked at an Aspen Dental for 3 weeks, $1,000 a day. So I made $15,000 that month. If you're going to do temp jobs today, I think you can negotiate higher than $1,000 a day. I'd say $1,200, $1,300, $1,400, $1,500, depending on the situation. I've heard of some dentists getting as much as $2,300 a day for temp work. If you're in a transition time, temp work actually is not that bad of an idea. You're not gonna be making a huge amount of money doing temp work, but when you're in between things, maybe you're trying to buy a practice, maybe you just sold a practice, whatever, temp jobs can be a good way to do some fill-in work. So overall, before buying a practice, I had made $197,000, almost $200,000 as working as an associate before I became an owner. So because I didn't have my license those first 2 months out of school, I really worked as an associate for about 1 year and I made about $200,000. Now, this is the part where I really wish I had gotten advice from someone rather than just taking these jobs that weren't that great. Had I gotten a job at a busy DSO where I had a full schedule of crowns and fillings and extractions and dentures and implants and everything, I easily could have made $300 to $350 that first year rather than making $200. First off, I was only doing fillings at this Medicaid office, so I was working so much harder than I needed to in order to make that money. And I had this job where they were sending me around on a wild goose chase going to multiple different offices because they didn't have enough patients for me at one single office. Don't make the mistake I made. Find a job where you are busy seeing lots of patients doing lots of different procedures. So after I bought my practice, I didn't pay myself for the first 6 months. You'll see from month 14 through 19, I paid myself $0. This is why it's important to make sure you have an emergency fund that you save up before you buy a practice. Because this first practice that I bought was quite a bit smaller than ideal. And also I made a lot of big changes. Like I switched from it being an HMO practice to a PPO practice. And so I made a lot of changes in a very small amount of time in this practice and completely redid everything. I did a complete remodel of the office. And so that cost quite a bit of money that I was reinvesting into the business, as well as it takes time for the insurance companies to pay you after you do procedures. And so for the first few months, you're not going to be receiving nearly as much money as you are going to be later on. Luckily though, by month 7, I had kind of figured the business out and was actually starting to make a little bit of money. And month 20, I paid myself $100,000. This was definitely the most money I had ever paid myself in a single month. I actually got a call from my bank the day that I transferred the money over. My bank was questioning me how I got $100,000, like I was some sort of criminal or something, because they just weren't used to seeing people have $100,000 show up in the bank overnight. And then I started getting a lot of attention from my bank after that, them calling me, wanting me to use various investment accounts. And he's like, oh, you're one of our high-end clients now. When you start making money, you're going to realize there's a lot of other people that want to try to get a piece of that money. Month 21, $50,000. Month 22, another $50,000. Month 23, $70,000. 24, $70,000. 25, another 70,000. So once the business was going, I got to where I could pay myself a pretty decent income. For a dentist who's a business owner, it's not unrealistic to pay yourself $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 a month. Remember, my best month working as an associate, I made $25,000. But now my low months, I was making $50,000. That's double. So my low months were double what my high months were when I was working as an associate. So by month 25, I had made $607,000 working as a dentist. Now, the title of the video is how I made $1 million in 27 months. So how am I going to get from $600,000 to $1 million in just 2 months? What ended up happening was something that absolutely could never happen to an associate dentist. The only way you're ever going to get lucky and to get into a situation like this is by being the owner of a business. I had someone offer to buy my business from me for twice what I had paid for the year before. Remember I told you before that this practice was in a city that I didn't actually want to live in long term? My wife and I were about to have our first child. We wanted to move back to be closer to family. Someone was offering to buy this practice. It made sense. So I sold my first dental practice, and in month 26, I made $390,000. I made $390,000 in a single month. That's double the amount of money that I made the entire year that I worked as a dental associate. This is why I'm always talking about how valuable it is to have equity in a business. As an associate, you're never truly going to have equity in your business. Sure, some of the DSOs are going to sell you partial ownership in their business, but that's not actually true equity. If you look at the fine print, it's actually not real equity. You want to be owning 100% of a business. The DSOs are only doing that because they're trying to lock associates in, and also because DSOs technically in most states aren't allowed to own practices. They have to have dentists own them. But if you really look at the terms and really understand what you're getting into, that's not true ownership. But when you own your own dental practice 100%, I only owned this practice for 1 year, but I was able to sell it for twice what I paid for. I walked away with $390,000 in a month. If instead you stay at a practice for 10 years and have your practice loan completely paid off, then when you sell your practice, you're going to get to keep 100% of the revenue. Because I had only had the practice for a year, I still had the majority of my practice loan to pay off. So even though I sold the practice for like $700,000, the first half of that had to go to paying off my practice loan. But I still walked away with $390,000. So after selling the practice, I had made $997,000. I still hadn't made $1 million, but I was so close. I was $3,000 away. The next month, I worked a few temp jobs and made $5,000. And so that ended up pushing me over the $1 million number. So that's how I made $1 million in 27 months as a dentist. After selling that first practice, I got a lot of attention from some of my other friends who were dentists, who they were asking me to help them buy practices. And they started referring their friends to me, and I had to actually start charging because I was getting so many people who wanted help. And that's how I actually ended up starting a business where I help dentists buy and sell practices. I've now gone through the process with a bunch of different dentists. And the fact is when you are an owner, you can make so much more money as a dentist. As long as you are smart about just a few things, for instance, buying a functional practice rather than doing a startup, then there is so much potential to make so much money as a dentist. You went to school for a minimum of 8 years to become a dentist. You have earned the right to be financially successful. Don't start doubting yourself and feel like you have to take a subpar job working as an associate. If for whatever reason you are uncertain about your current situation as a dentist, please reach out and we can set up a call to help you figure out what your next step should be. For most dentists, the best option is going to be buy a practice. But I have talked to some dentists where working as an associate was the right move for them. And I've talked to some dentists where doing a startup was the right option for them. Every single case is going to be unique. It's hard for me to give one statement that's going to apply to everyone. So I hope that seeing my first 27 months of dentistry has given you some ideas of things you can apply to your own life and your own practice. If you're at a point in your career where you're not sure what your next step should be, check out my website and sign up for a strategy call. I would love to look at your individual situation and help give you some advice. It's an exciting time to be a dentist. It's definitely becoming a little bit more competitive now because more and more dentists are graduating from dental school, but it's still a great time to be a dentist, especially if you're going to be a practice owner. Reach out if you have any questions, and I wish you the best of luck.